Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, everyone. This is the Employee Cycle Podcast, and I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And you know us. We're your friendly people dashboard, helping you throw away all those spreadsheets in your HR reporting and analytics process. Let me ask you a question, HR and people leaders out there listening. How many times have you waited to the last minute until the last hour to try to put together a spreadsheet or PowerPoint that you really might not be that proud of, but you know what? You had to put it together because so many people were asking you for all these metrics and data, yet you know that it was stored in so many different systems and it just took you way too long to put it together. Well, look no further, because that's why we created Employee Cycle, a people dashboard that automates your entire HR reporting and analytics process. We have pre-built API connectors to the most popular HR systems out there. So if you're using systems like Bamboo HR, namely ADP, Zenefit, TriNet, Paylocity, Greenhouse, Reflective, CultureAmp, all these different systems that we know that you are aware of, and if you're using them and you have data all over the place, you need to use Employee Cycle. Pull all your data in one place so you can view, share, track, and analyze all that data together. To learn more and to get a demo, go to employeecycle.com. Check us out. Can't wait to talk. But that's enough about me and our product, because today we have an awesome guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Maria Salvaggio. She's the Director of People Ops at M1 Finance. And today we're going to discuss which parts of your culture should remain versus change as your company grows. Maria, welcome to the podcast. Woo! Maria!
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And thanks to all my fans who have decided to join.
All your fans. You know why they joined? Because well, this is your very first podcast.
It is.
That's why they're so excited.
I'm very excited too.
Awesome. So Maria, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how. And that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Yeah. So my path to HR really started in recruiting. My very first job out of college, I had been helping out with a lot of interviewing and college career fairs. And I realized that it was something that I enjoyed and something that I was good at. So when I moved to Chicago, I took a role at a pre-IPO tech company to help build their campus tech recruiting program from scratch. And it was really then that I realized very fundamentally what I love to do is I love to build things. And I happen to have some people skills. So it was a great career for me to really get started in. And since then, I have kind of found a niche working at pre-IPO tech companies that have allowed me to build things from scratch. So things like tech recruiting teams, employee engagement programs, employer branding initiatives, and all to building the entire people ops function, which I've been able to do at my last two positions, including building the HR and recruiting teams and programs from the ground up. And very thankful that that is what I get to do today and every day at M1. So it's a exciting journey that started with recruiting and has just really grown from there.
Awesome. So today we're talking about which parts of your culture should remain versus change as you grow. And I think this is such a fascinating topic because people change, the feel and the vibe of companies change as they become more mature, whether you go through a pandemic that you've never been through before, or if you just grow to be a much larger company, things change. So this is so exciting. So before we actually talk about what should change versus remain, I like the level set to make sure that we and the audience are on the same page. So can you help us define what does culture, what does workforce culture mean to you? Because it means so many different things to so many people.
Yeah, that's a great question. I really think that culture is kind of the pulse and the DNA of your overall organization. It's not necessarily just writing out a bunch of words on a page and handing it out at new hire orientation. It's more about what you do on a day-to-day basis, who you're hiring, who you're promoting, whose ideas are being listened to, really how teams are working together. And it's not so much, you know, this aspirational list of values that you're trying to achieve. It's more what you're doing and putting your money where your mouth is and being able to build a team that functions in a way that is cohesive and working together. So it's every decision, I think, that is made on a day-to-day basis and everything that's done in your organization really just all goes up into your umbrella word of culture and putting some guideposts in to allow people to make the right decisions and do things that are going to move your business forward.
Interesting. I was on a panel not too long ago, and someone much smarter than me said something I won't forget about culture. I believe I'm paraphrasing here, but I believe their comment was, culture is what your organization will tolerate.
Yes.
And I thought that was so interesting, especially in these times.
It's so true. It's not just who you're hiring and who you're promoting, but it's also who you are parting ways with and what people are doing that you're kind of letting them get away with. I love that. That's so true.
Got it. So now we're going to talk about how your culture changes when you're going from, you know, a small company to a larger company, or maybe a downsizing, or maybe you go through a pandemic that no one saw happening. But for you, let's talk about where you are now and then why this is top of mind for you. So how many employees do you currently have?
Yeah, so currently we are right around 100. And this time last year, we were around 40 to 50. So we have almost doubled in size. And in the next 6 to 12 months, I imagine that we'll double in size again. A lot of this is due to some exciting growth that we've had as a company. You know, we have grown our assets under management. We're a fintech company, so that's an important metric for us. Before the pandemic, we hit $1 billion, which was a huge milestone. And then just last week, we hit $3 billion. So there's a lot of growth on our platform, but we've also been able to close some rounds of Series B and Series C funding through the virtual world of the pandemic. And that has also led to some growth that we're excited about. And so top of mind for us is making sure that we are hiring people and equipping them to bring their best selves to work every day and feel welcome and be involved in the M1 culture as a whole.
Got it. So you said you're at about 100 employees now, and you can see doubling in size maybe within the next year or so. And so with that growth, how are you thinking about which parts of your culture that you really believe should remain versus what I like to call culture add, whereas when new people come to the table and they're adding a new flavor or vibe or twist to the culture that you believe your company should be open to?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, for us, a year ago, the world just looked totally different than it looks today. And we were also at an inflection point for our company growing. So there's a lot of changes that have happened over the last 12 months. I mean, the main one is we have an entire remote workforce. Whereas if you would have talked to us a year ago, we would have said everybody needs to be in Chicago, everybody needs to be in the office, and it's the only way to be collaborative and open. Obviously, now that's not the case, and we've been very fortunate that our team has been able to work so well in this remote world. And so we've worked to kind of put some policies in place to help people more comfortable working from home. And I think that that's one of the big things. We want people to be able to be productive and do their best work, even though things look a little bit differently. And so kind of some of that foundational stuff that we've put in place is, you know, being flexible with our employees, allowing them to work from places other than their home in Chicago, and giving them a stipend to equip their home office so that it's more comfortable for themselves. And then providing them with some opportunity to continue to get to know people who are hired at the company or who have worked for the company for a lot of years. And there's a couple of things that we've done there. Working together and having this teamwork atmosphere is something that's been really important to M1 over the past 5 years. People will all, you know, drop everything and go and sit and have lunch together in the office, but it's just not something that you can do today. New hires will be able to kind of sit down and with our CEO, he sits out in the cafeteria every day and has his lunch and gets to chat with people. So what we've done kind of to replace some of that teamwork is put together weekly meetings with groups of random employees. So everybody is put into a random group every week. It's through an application called Donut, and they can sit and chat about things for half an hour that are not work related. And it's a really good way to get to know people. We've done a couple of just big lunches together where we'll put a big Zoom meeting on the calendar for noon and people can join and eat their lunch and just chat. And we also have made sure that we've been able to continue to celebrate big milestones that our company has hit, as well as some of the company parties that we used to have in person, like our holiday party. We've done those remotely as well by allowing people to join a Zoom call. You can reimburse up to $100 for a nice meal for yourself. And we, for Christmas or for the holiday party, we actually did a team trivia night. So people got to join and play trivia in a group. And everybody really enjoyed that because they got to meet some new people. So and in that sense, I guess what I'm saying is having that teamwork and having that camaraderie between team members is something really important. And we want to make sure that we're continuing that. It just looks a little bit different today than it did a year ago. And as we continue to grow, making sure people are still feeling like they have that team that they can go and they can talk to and meet with. And so that's one aspect. Another aspect is the transparency of the M1 culture is something that people really loved. You know, as a 20-person company, everybody really appreciated being able to go straight to our CEO and ask a question. It's not something necessarily that people can do when you're 100 or 200 people. And so having people still connected to our goals and mission and trying to relate everybody's day-to-day work back up to the overall M1 goals is something that we really try to do. Our company OKRs are posted, and so everyone can see them. And then team OKRs relate back up to the company OKRs, and individual OKRs relate to the team OKRs, and then using as much data as we can to measure those things.
Got it. That's pretty comprehensive. And it seems like you really know what's going on with your organization. And so speaking to that, I always think it's fascinating to understand how the employer perceives the culture versus the employees. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, when it comes to figuring out which parts of the culture should remain versus should always be open to change so that it's not too rigid, how are you going about figuring out what are the employees really caring about? Or are the things that you mentioned, like teamwork, collaboration, and transparency, are those things that employees have told you that they really appreciate the most?
Yeah, that is such a good question. I mean, there is, I think you're right, a little bit of a discrepancy between a leadership team when you're not on the pulse of the day-to-day people who are working at the company. How do we make sure that the things that we're focusing on are the things that people really do care about? We do kind of the standard employee engagement survey every 6 months where we ask a series of questions and really take some of that feedback to heart. So the things that were difficult for our employees when we did the survey last December, we kind of looked into and dug into how we could do things differently. Those were things like having difficulty working remotely and being able to connect with their teammates. And so we've been able to kind of use that data and information to drive some of the changes that we have made. And then we also do a little bit of a pulse survey every quarter about the employee satisfaction and is M1 empowering you to do your best work so that we can keep track of it on a smaller scale as well. And then in general, our employees are very transparent and very open about the things that they care about. We had over the summer a group of employees that were very passionate about making sure that M1 was increasing diversity and being really bringing equity and inclusion to the forefront. And so we had a town hall meeting and we had a large discussion and were able to build some really great programs from that, just from listening to what people care about. And then the last thing, our CEO, we do a all hands demo day meeting every month, and the CEO doesn't ask me anything. And so people submit questions and he really doesn't shy away from answering anything. And so some of the questions can be a little bit difficult, and it really shines a light to what people care about.
Got it. And so as we're talking about this dynamic of keeping your culture together, but then also figuring out what's open to change, I'm curious how you look at culture ad versus culture fit.
Yeah.
It seems as though a lot of companies, especially in the tech and innovation space, realized that culture fit was actually one of the reasons why you would have unconscious bias. Mm-hmm. And culture fit was one of the reasons why companies would always say, well, when you're hiring somebody, this person should be somebody that you can hang out with if you're stuck in an elevator or if you're at an airport or whatever it is, all the stupid things that people used to say, and I'm assuming still say. So, and then we moved to this place where we said, well, actually, culture is this living, breathing, fluid thing where you actually should look for a culture ad, people who make the culture better. So how do you balance that culture fit versus culture ad when you're trying to figure out what to keep in your culture, but then also what you're open, where you're open to change, and which areas are you actually proactively looking to change?
Yeah, it's so interesting that you are mentioning the difference between culture fit and culture ad. We just started calling our culture fit interview, using air quotes, but you can't see me. We started calling that culture ad because we agree that it's not necessarily a culture fit that we're looking for. We're looking for people who are going to help us challenge our status quo, but going to be able to thrive in the environment that we have. And so focusing our interview, our culture add interviews on, you know, the things that really are going to make a difference for someone when it comes to their work life, like how often we give feedback and how often for engineers we're pair programming, or how often you're going to be working with your head down, and asking those kinds of questions instead of what kind of TV shows do you like to watch or what do you do on the weekends, because that stuff is not necessarily as important when it comes to culture ad. So for everybody who's doing interviewing, we make sure that they go through a training, which involves looking at the difference between culture fit and culture ad, and equip them with questions that they can ask, like what kind of management style suits you best? What kind of environment do you like to be in meetings? And how do you feel like you thrive on a day-to-day basis? What are some things you need? How much feedback do you like? How do you like to structure your day? And making sure that those things really jive with our company. I encourage everyone, when they're doing interviews for culture fit, to make note of the things that they have in common with the person that they're interviewing, and make sure that those aren't reasons that you're hiring someone. You don't want to hire someone just because you both like the same sports team or you went to the same school. Even though those things are great, they shouldn't be a driving force in making the decision for a hire. So we talk about that a lot. So I'm glad that you agree, and culture ad is better than a culture fit.
I do, definitely. And thanks for the beautiful transition to the last part of this interview around culture when it comes to hiring and recruiting. So the first question that I want to ask in this area is, now with mostly everyone being remote, and it seems like your organization is fully remote at this point, how do you go about communicating, sharing, and really allowing the potential candidate to really feel the culture? And I think that's a real challenge that a lot of companies and HR leaders have. You know, a lot of our customers are saying they're having that issue where you can't walk in the office and see what's going on. And clearly it's not about seeing ping pong tables or lunch everywhere, but just to understand, what is the energy? What is the vibe? Is it loud? Is it quiet? Are people working together? Are people working separately? Is it open office versus a whole bunch of private offices? And so without having any of that, how do you go about communicating and sharing the culture in an authentic way to candidates?
Yeah, that's great. A great question. I think it's important in an interview to be as honest as you possibly can be. And to share the good with the bad and help people understand, like, if you are going to take this job, here is what you can expect. And it's not about selling someone a bill of goods so that they say yes. It's about being really honest and truthful about what people are signing up for if they decide to take the offer. So I think at the core, it really starts with being very honest with potential employees about who M1 is, what it's like to work here, and allow them to have some of those conversational meetings with people who would be on their team to ask some of those questions, like, what am I signing up for and what to expect? I think that's the best way to do it, is good, honest, open conversations about what things look like. And we're always kind of testing ourselves to make sure that we are giving them the clearest picture that we can, because it's really hard, like you said, to get the sense of an office culture when you're not walking in and you're not seeing, do people have offices? Do they have an open workspace? Are people standing and working together? And so we make sure that people have and can get a sense of what that's like by just talking very open and honestly with a lot of different people who they would be working with on a day-to-day basis. I don't know if I've got a good answer to how to do it in this remote world, but we're trying the best we can.
Yeah, for sure. One of the things that you just made me think about is hearing other HR leaders talk about putting a lot more emphasis on their employer brand, mm-hmm. to try to communicate the culture way before the interview starts. And so whether that's making a more diverse and inclusive career page with images or videos to really show the personality of the company and people, does that ring a bell and resonate with any of the things that you're doing, or have you not went down that path?
Yeah, it does. We make sure every single one of our job descriptions has a little bit about the company perks and things that, you know, our employees get to do. We have a commitment to diversity that we publish with every one of our job descriptions, as well as our company core values. And I think the core values that we have really do reflect a lot on who M1 is. And so you're able to, even before you click apply, to read a really honest description about, you know, what makes M1 tick. And so that really helps. Everybody's kind of on that same page even before they apply.
Got it. And then the last question, and again, you teed me up again. Beautiful transition for the very last question. The company of Maria Salvaggio. If you had your company culture listed in a book on the wall, if you had to put, you know, core values for you personally, what would that look like?
Wow, that's a great question. You know, when I decided to take the job at M1, what I was looking for was a company that's values aligned with my own values. That was one of the driving forces of me, taking this job, is I felt like myself, I like to work in a very honest and open environment. And that's what I found with M1. So I think that would be one. Definitely continuing to keep that transparency and openness and trust together. And then I like to think that I'm pretty fun. And so definitely a little bit of levity and laughter, hopefully, would be part of the company value. And then I love to work in an ownership type environment. So being able to own your work and see the fruits of your labor and, you know, grow within that.
Awesome. Thank you for answering that off the cuff question, putting you on the spot. You clearly are fun. And so living to your core values, I appreciate it. But Maria, thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest and for sharing your insights, knowledge, and wisdom about such an important topic that so many of your peers are thinking about. So thank you so much. Woo! Go, Maria!
Thanks, Bruce. This was a lot of fun. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, of course. And you nailed your first podcast. So now you are a professional podcast interviewer.
We'll add it to the resume.
There you go. I want to see it on LinkedIn. So where can people find you and M1 online?
Yeah, I think the best place to find me will be on LinkedIn. You can find me, I think I'm the only Maria at M1 Finance, so it should be pretty easy to connect with me there.
Awesome. And we'll definitely include that contact info in the show notes. So everyone out there listening, if you enjoyed this episode as much as Maria and I did making it, then please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes, because it shows that we're providing great content. Also, if this is your very first time listening to one of our interviews and you came here because you either thought that the topic was super compelling or you're a huge super fan of Maria already and you just had to hear what she was going to say, but now you're hungry for more episodes, please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast players. And last but not least, all you super awesome HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.